Morning. Today's Daven Erevin Yud Ches. We start today the second parak of Maseches Erevin. We begin with the Mishnah of Simpasin. The Mishnah over here is going to be dealing with a kula leniency that is given to the Olei Regalim. Before we get to the leniency, so just as a quick recap of the first parak, so in order to establish a Rishus Yachin, so it has to be an enclosure and it has to be surrounded by four walls. The bulk of the first parak of the Masechta talked about a very specific Rishus Yachin, and that's a Mavui. Which is only surrounded by three walls and not four walls, and the fourth wall is opened up into the Rishus Rabim. And we talked about the Tikkun HaMavui, how exactly the Mavui is to be adjusted in order to be able to carry within the Mavui. But throughout the first parak, however, one of the most fundamental issues is that in order to create a Rishus Yachid, so it needs to be an enclosure, it needs to be surrounded. Minatora has to be surrounded by three walls. I mentioned already a number of times, the Rambam, you could read the Rambam that he requires four walls, but simple reading of the Gemara is that you have to be surrounded by three walls. And as far as walls are concerned, we spent a lot of time in the first parak talking about the many different details regarding the halacha of mechitza. The Gemara at the beginning of the parak told us that mechitzas are halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, all the laws that revolve around what exactly it takes to create a partition. That was all taught at Har Sinai, and that's part of the corpus of Torah Shabbat Peh, specifically under the category of halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. And as far as the various details are concerned, so we know that there has to be a minimum height of 10 tefachim. It has to have more wall than airspace. So some of the more basic details regarding what exactly are the details regarding the halachas of mechitza. That was the first parak of Maseches Erevin. Here in the second parak of Maseches Erevin, we continue with the discussion of creating an enclosure. But we're going to be talking about a very big dispensation that was given by the Chachamim for the Olei Regalim. Three times a year we are instructed to go up to Yerushalayim in order to be seen in the Beis HaMikdash, and that of course is on the three Yontifs, and on the three Yontifs when we're Olei Regalim, so we're going to be making a trek, and this pilgrimage that we're going to be taking is going to take a number of days, and probably we're going to have to stop over Shabbos. So we're going to be stopping on the way over Shabbos, so we are obviously going to try to stop in a town or in a city, but if we can't, we're at least going to stop by a water source, so that over the course of Shabbos, we're going to have access to water. So this water source, so we're going to assume right now that it's somewhere on the road, on the way to Yerushalayim, this water source. And now what we want to do is we're going to want to stop. But of course, over the course of Shabbos, we're going to want to pull water out of the well. Now the well is the Rishus HaYachid. Why is it the Rishus HaYachid? Because it has the dimensions. It is surrounded by four walls, or if it's a circle, doesn't matter. It's surrounded on all sides. It's going to be 10 tefachim high or 10 tefachim deep, either way. So it is a Rishus HaYachid. If it is right by the road, if it's on the road, so the road obviously is a Rishus HaRabim. What now becomes a tremendous challenge is that on Shabbos you're not allowed to draw from the well into the street. This is being hotza. This is making hotza'ah. This is transferring from Rishus Yachid to Rishus HaRabim. You can't do that. What do you do? So what you're going to do is you're going to make an enclosure around you. So without a dispensation of the Chacham, and what does it mean you're going to make an enclosure around you? It means that you're going to be constructing four walls all around you. Okay, maybe we could talk about it, three walls around you and the fourth wall being somewhat less than a total fourth wall. Okay, but the idea is, of course, is that this is going to be very taxing. The idea that you're going to have to now, just for this Shabbos, you're going to have to make four actual walls all the way around. That's very difficult. So under these circumstances, the Chachamim gave a dispensation. And this is what's called Pase Beiraos. Pase Beiraos are the allowances the Chachamim gave for the Olei Regalim. Now, what does it look like? So if you have a picture book, so you're going to see it, even if you don't have a picture book, we saw it already earlier in the first parak, when the first parak made reference to it. So we saw a very basic schematic of it in Rashi on Tesvav Amud Aleph. So if you're just working with a standard Gemara, so you can go back to Tesvav Amud Aleph, you can see Rashi over there, who gives a schematic. Even that Rashi over there on Tesvav Amud Aleph, that schematic in Rashi, it does not really do justice to what we are looking at right now. Because in the picture in Rashi, it looks like you have four brackets in the four corners, each one of them operating on a 90-degree angle, and you have a little bit of space in between them. It's not a little bit of space in between them. It's a significant amount of space in between them. It could be upwards of 10 amos, or as we're going to see in just a moment, upwards of 13 and a third amos. That is going to be the space. And the actual brackets themselves are only one amma in each direction. So the picture is not drawn to scale, to say the least, back in the Rashi. It's not, by the way, no faulting to Rashi. Probably the picture was inserted by somebody else other than Rashi. It doesn't matter. Anyway, but it's not drawn to scale, and the real scale is It's one amma of wall in those corners. And then after that, the gap in between is significantly more. It's 10 amas, 13 and a third amas. That is that's significant. What I now have basically is that I have an enclosure where basically I don't have walls. I have four brackets in the four corners. And now because the corners are filled in, so now we have what is called an enclosure vis-a-vis the Ole Regalim. So obviously this is an inferior wall. Now it happens to be that this Mishnah, we're starting right now in just a moment, this Mishnah is an unbelievable segue from the previous Mishnah. Because in the previous Mishnah, at the end of the previous parak, well, I don't really reference the last Mishnah, but two Mishnahs before that. So what was the Mishnah's topic over there? Inferior walls. We talked about a wall via lovehood. I have a string, and then I have a string on top of that, and a string on top of that, and we could do this horizontally, we could do this vertically, and that's going to be a wall. Albeit, it's a somewhat inferior wall, because you really have more airspace than you have wall, but halacha, based on the principles of lovehood, halacha views it as a wall. And is there any limitations to that inferior wall? So that was a good part of yesterday's Gemara. So over here now, as we begin the second paragraph, we're also looking at an inferior wall, but an inferior wall that was given a dispensation by the Chachamim that we are allowed to put up under certain circumstances. So what the Mishnah is now going to start off with is a detail regarding how exactly this is constructed and the gap that exists between the brackets. Osin pasin le beiraos. So a person can make simply posts for the beiraos. Arba diyum dim nir kishmona. And it's going to be four brackets that look like eight. What does that mean, four brackets looking like eight? So first of all, the word diyumdin, which the Gemara is going to acknowledge is a strange word. We already dealt with this word before. Probably comes from the word duo, which means two. The Gemara is going to make that point. And that means to say that it's a bracket, and because it is going in two different angles instead of 90 degree, so it looks like two different boards. In fact, it probably is constructed of two different boards. So each one of them is going to be one item, but each one of them looks like two, and then you take the four of them together, so it looks like eight, and that's pshat in the Mishnah. So it is arba diyumdim, so you take the four brackets, near kishmona, it looks like eight, div Rabbi Yehuda, and this is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, shmona near kishne masar, arba diyumdim, arba pshutim. Now Rabbi Meir says that it's going to be a total of 12. How does he get to 12? Well, he's going to take the four diyumdim, which again, that looks like eight, and you're going to take also another four boards as well, and you're going to position these four boards in the center between the brackets, meaning between each of the walls, at the center point of each four sides of the walls, and now you're going to have a total of 12. Now, what's going on over here in the Mishnah, meaning that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to only have four brackets in the four corners, and according to Rabbi Meir, you're going to have center boards in between the brackets. What's happening over here? So what we're going to see together later, and by later, I don't even mean today. This is going to come up in tomorrow's daf. So later what we're going to see is that they're arguing over a particular case, and we'll go over the dimensions of the case that they're arguing about in tomorrow's daf. All right, so as for now, we just simply see that you can make an enclosure using these brackets. Machlok is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, whether I need another post for the center of each side. Govan asar tfachim, in terms of the height of these posts, they have to be 10 tfachim high. Veruch ben shisha, as far as the length of each of the boards. So it's going to be six tfachim over here, which means an amma in each direction. Volvia koshu. Now, in terms of the thickness of the board, so that is not significant. It can be even a koshu. Uvenem kamalo shei revakur shoshal shosh bakur divrei meir. Now, the distance between them is going to be shtei revakos, two series of oxen that are three hitched at a time. So that means to say that you're going to have three oxen walking in one way, three oxen walking out the other way, and divrei meir, and according to Shitas Rabbi Meir, so that's going to be the allowance of space that exists between them. The Gemara is obviously going to deal with how big a space are we talking about, meaning how wide is each oxen, and I'll give you the shorter version of this discussion. According to Rabbi Meir, it's 10 amos, meaning the 3 plus the 3 totals to 10 amos. We'll do the math a little bit later on in terms of how we get there. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shal Arba Kishuros. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be four oxen. Kishuros Velo Mutaros, in terms of the oxen and the way they are hitched together, they are tied together, they are not untied. Achat Nechnesus Vachat Yosas, one coming in, and the other one is going out. So that means to say that the way we're looking at the oxen is that you have a group going in, you have a group coming out, and those are going to be the parameters in which we're going to be measuring the distance between one bracket and the other bracket. Mutar lahakriv lebe'er, one can get as close as they want to the well. Uvavad shitehe para rosh ruba bifnim vishose. The only provision is, before we go on in the Mishnah, let's envision now that basically we are moving the brackets closer to the well. Okay, so we're just making a smaller enclosure. Or we're moving the brackets further away from the well, obviously making a larger enclosure. So how close can I make them to the well? So the Mishnah tells us, well, that's very simple. So you can move them as close as you want. The only provision is, provided that the animal can put the majority of his body in the enclosure, and so that his head and the majority of his body is within the enclosure, and he could drink. Okay, that's the halacha in terms of how close it could be. Now, what you could do is you can move the brackets as far away from the well as you want. Now, obviously, the problem is every time you're moving the brackets further away from the well, so what you're doing is you're creating more gap between each of the corners. Now, what are you going to do with those gaps? So the Mishnah says it's actually very simple. What you're going to do is that you're going to keep adding posts, meaning, according to, let's start with the Shita Rav Meir, gap can be no bigger than 10 amos. So that means to say that if I'm moving now the corners further away, so the gap is going to be larger. Let's say now the gap gets to 12 amos, that's fine. So what you'll do is you have to put a post in the middle. A post in the middle, so now that you're going to have two gaps. And if, let's say, the gaps in between them is 30 amos, so then you're going to have a couple of posts in the middles. And that's what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says, Uvavachi Yarbet Papasim. Keep adding posts so that the difference between the gaps are going to be less than 10 amos, according to Rav Meir. Or according to Rav Yehuda, it's going to be less than 13 and a third amos between each of the posts. Continuing the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda Amar Ad Beis Hasayim. Is there going to be a limit to how large an enclosure we can make? So again, this goes back to the discussion we had at the end of the first parak, meaning that when I'm creating an enclosure using inferior walls, so is it going to be capped? So this discussion should sound familiar. We just had this by our loved walls. So now we're having it over here by the Pasei Be'ra'os walls. So according to Rav Yehuda, yes, it's capped, and it's capped to Beis Hasayim, which we established is 5,000 square amos. Amru lo, they say to Rabbi Yehuda, so lo amru beis hasayim ela legina ulekarpaf. So yeah, there is a beis hasayim cap, but in other areas in halacha, a gina, a karpaf, a garden, a karpaf is a place where you store items. Rashi describes a karpaf hekif gadol chutz leir lachnis sham etzim laotzar. It's a place where you store wood. It's outside the city. Some sort of storage house, storage facility. Anyway, those are capped at 5,000 square amos. That is not hokaf ladira. These are enclosures that are not meant for residential purposes, and they're capped in terms of being a rishus liyachid. Aval hayadira o sohar muksa o chatzer. But if there's any kind of enclosure that's used for any type of residential purposes, so these are all different types of enclosures. The muksa, we already discussed. I know it sounds strange. It's a funny word to be using in the context over here. Muksa, we normally assume, is gzeirah derabanan, that one is not allowed to pick up an item that has no utility for Shabbos, which is true. But in the context of Erevin, muksa is referring to the backyard, right? It's a lot, an enclosed lot, and usually it's in the backyard. Back in the day, most of the activity that was done was in the front. That is the chatzir. Okay, anyway. So deer, so are muksa chatzer, so afilo base chameshes korim, afilo base asara korim mutter. It does not matter the area. 5 korim, 10 korim, just simply means it could be as large as you want. Umutter laharchi kol shehu vavashi arbe pepasin. And now, according to the Chachamim, there is no limit to how big an enclosure one can make using the mechanism pasei be'ra, so you can make the pasei be'ra as large as you want. Now again, the only thing you have to worry about is the gaps. The gaps in between the brackets. So the gaps between the brackets cannot be more than, according to Rav Meir, 10 amos, and according to Rav Yehuda, 13 and a third amos. Ad kan divrei Mishnah. The Mishnah introduces us to the concept of pasei be'ra'os. Now, for a moment, before we start with the Gemara, let's take a step back and let's think about the number of ways this dispensation is amazing. It's an amazing heter that was given by the Chachamim, this idea of pasei be'ra'os, meaning after having gone through the first parak, so we know what exactly are the basic halachas regarding an enclosure. And one of the most basic rules regarding an enclosure is that you have to have more wall than air space. So you have to have omed meruba ala paros. In fact, We just spent a lot of time in the end of the first parak on Tezvav Amud Beis through Tezayin, and a good part of Daf Tezayin, where we discuss what happens when they're equal. What if you have equal amounts of wall and airspace? And is it going to be mutter? Is it going to be usher? And after a lengthy discussion, the Gemara finally concluded that it's mutter, and that's only when you have 50-50. Over here now, let's take an aggregate total of how much wall versus how much airspace do I have. And it's very simple. I have a lot more airspace than I have wall. I have now brackets in the corners, each one of them going only extending an amma in each direction. So now that's going to be how many ammas of wall am I looking at? So I'm looking at a total of 8 ammas of wall, right? 4 brackets, two ammas for each bracket. That's 8 ammas of wall. How many airspace do I have? So according to Rav Meir, who is the smaller shear, it's a 10 amma gap in between them. 10 amma gap in between them, four times over. So that's going to be 40 ammas of airspace. Okay, so 8 ammas of wall, 40 ammas of airspace. That's amazing. Meaning that defies the basic rules of what is an enclosure. And so the first Tosfos in our parak, go back to the bottom of the previous amma, look at the first Tosfos in our parak. So Tosfos asks the question super succinctly, right? Tosfos and Rashi are just masters at writing in shorthand. So Tosfos says, I don't understand. So we learned as a basic rule, Hachi Agmere Rachman Lamoshe. Talach Lamoshe Misinai. Remember the Rashi that we quoted also back on Tezvav. Talach Lamoshe Misinai. So that that you need more wall than airspace. So, admittedly, we understand the motivation behind the Chachamim to give the Ole Regalim this heter. You understand? You want to make it easier for people to make Aliyah L'Regel. Good, but it's not an enclosure. You have much more airspace than you have wall. Tosfos says. Now, Tosfos's answer is extraordinarily difficult, but I will read and translate. Hainu hecha de leke shamdal mechitzos ki hacha. So Tosfos says. That when is it true that I need more wall than airspace? That's when I don't have 4 mechitzas. But over here, ki acha the whole the ika b'chol sad amma mikan v'amma mikan chashe pesach. But because over here, what I have on each side is I have walls on each side. Admittedly, only 1 amma, but I have walls on each side. So the 10 amma gap in the middle is now viewed as a pesach, and therefore this does not violate the rules of omeid meruba al haparts. It's a difficult answer of Tosfos. I don't fully understand what Tosfos is saying in terms of how this responds to the question. Meaning, what Tosfos seems to be saying is that since it's a pesach does not count towards the total of parts versus omeid. I don't know. You go back to the first parak and you see the cases over there. It looked very much like we were counting the pesach. Tosfos over here says, well, there are walls on 4 sides, so therefore, in each of the sides, it can be viewed as a pesach. And it doesn't violate the rule of Omei Meruba L'Paritz. It doesn't feel that way after having gone through the first parak. Having just gone through the first parak doesn't feel that way. Okay. Obviously, the question needs a response, and Tosfos is clearly responding. And I'm just admitting I don't fully understand Tosfos's answer. Okay. Anyway, that's one issue. And let's just move on to the next Tosfos very quickly, because these Tosfos are really great review of what are the basic halachas. And in what ways is our Pasei Beiros violating the basic halachas? Next Tosfos over here goes on to the Shita of Rebbe Meir. Yeah, the Shita's Rebbe Meir. Shita's Rebbe Meir is that you're going to have the brackets in the corners, and you're going to have that 1 amma board in the middle of each of the sides, and that will then work. And again, we haven't gone through the dimensions yet, why that's necessary. Anyway, we'll understand that better tomorrow. In the meantime, however, what comes out over here is the following. That when I'm looking at that 1 amma board that's in between the brackets, and what do I have on one side? I have a lot of airspace on one side, and I have a lot of airspace on the other side. And what's happening over there? You have more airspace on each side than you have wall in the center. And what did we learn back in the first parak? That when I have a lot of airspace on one side, a lot of airspace on the other side, so now what's going to happen is that board in the middle gets negated. So that's exactly what's going on over here. And Tosfos says, how does that work? So Tosfos over here says, yes, that's also part of the heter chachamim in terms of creating pasei beros, that even when I put the one amma beam in the center between the two brackets, so even though in the first parak we were offended by the rule of airspace on one side, airspace on the other side, going and negating the center, so Tosfos says over here, not going to be an issue, not going to be a problem, because over here we're operating strictly on a deraisa level. And what Tosfos certainly seems to be saying is that rule of avir mehagisa, umeavir mehagisa, is not a din deraisa, but rather a din derabanan. Okay. I just spent the last couple of minutes just hopefully giving us an appreciation of how much of an allowance we're talking about in creating an enclosure using just the brackets. Omin Muruba Laparos? Okay, that's an issue. Avir Mehagisa, Mehavir Mehagisa? That's also an issue. But these are issues that are not that are not solvable. The Chachamim solve for them. How exactly did the Chachamim solve for them? Okay, so admittedly that requires more analysis and more understanding, and I don't fully understand it myself, even though I know the Rishonim are addressing it, at least Tosfos that is, but it's something to consider in terms of the massive heter that's being provided over here. In the meantime, now we're going to continue in the Gemara. Certainly sounds like our mission is not going like Shitas Chananya. Which Shitas Chananya? Titanya will enter the Bryce Osim Pasim Labor, the Chavam Lashayara, the Chananya Omer Chavam Labor of Alola Pasim. In terms of the makeshift enclosures that one can do, so you can do Pasim for a boar. A boar is a pit. It's like a Be'er. A Be'er is a natural wellspring where the water continuously comes in, as opposed to a boar, which is a pit. It's just a hole in the ground. You have collected water over there, and you finish it, and that's it. It's done. So for the boar, you can make Pasim, you can make the brackets. You can do the string, the loved wall, for a shayara, for a caravan, according to the Tanakama, Chananya, Omer, Chavalim, Labor, Avalala Pasin. According to Chananya, you can make the Chavalim, the string walls for the pit, but you can't use the Pasei Beira. So the Gemara says it sounds like Chananya dismisses the idea of using the bracketed walls, the bracketed enclosures. So the Gemara says, no, afilo tema Chananya, bor lechud, be'er lechud. Because Chananya only dismissed it for a boar, not for a bear. What's the difference? So Rashi points out, because when it comes to the boar, so it's very possible that you're going to end up finishing the boar. And it could very well be that there's no longer going to be a need for those walls. But when it comes to the bear, there's going to be a continuous supply of water. Igadami now in a slightly different version of this discussion. Midalokatani Chananya Omer Osin Chavan Labor Upasin LeBeer. Now we're looking at the same brisa, but over here in the second version, we're just focusing on what Chananya could have said. He could have said that we're going to make the stringed enclosure for the boar and the bracketed enclosure for the be'er. He didn't say that. So mechlat lechananya lo shna bor v'lo shna be'er chavalin and pasin lo. So it sounds like it's a total dismissal of the bracketed enclosure that our Mishnah is allowing. So the Gemara says no. Lema masisin delo chananya. And I'm sorry, the Gemara suggests again that our Mishnah is not going like Chananya. And here in the second version, we're going to say no. Afilo tema chananya lamai dekamer tanakama kamahadarlei. No, it just happens to be that Chananya was responding to the Tanakama. The only reason why he didn't mention Be'er is because the Tanakama didn't mention Be'er. So, but it's not because the Chananya is dismissing the brackets altogether. He just simply was responding to the Tanakama. Tanakama mentioned Bor. Chananya kept his comments to only Bor. Lema masisim delo k'Rabbi Kiva. The Gemara says, okay, now our Mishnah seems not to be going like Rabbi Kiva. Did not, because here we have a Mishnah. We're going to see this Mishnah later in the Masechta, later in this Perek. Echad be'er rabim bor ha-rabim, u'be'er ha-yachid osam lem pasim, ava bor ha-yachid osam lem mechitza gavor ha-sar tvachim div Rabbi Kiva. According to Rabbi Kiva, when you have a bor, a pit, that belongs to the masses, or a be'er, a well, whether it belongs to an individual, whether it belongs to the masses, so there you can make brackets. But if it is a pit, and it is only for an individual, so then you have to make bona fide walls of 10 tvachim high. So that is Shitas Rabbi Kiva. Basically, what we're looking at over here is that there's an advantage to having a group, having it owned by a group, and it's an advantage to having a be'er. The advantage of the be'er, as we already pointed out, is it's a continuous source of water. The advantage of it being a group, says Rashi, is that the group is there to remind each other that the only way we could use it, that we could use the enclosure, is only when there is a water source. Well, there's a be'er, there's always going to be water. When there's a bore, there's not always going to be water. So therefore, if it's a group of people, they're going to keep reminding each other that usage is only when there's water. But when it's only one individual, no one's there to remind him. Remember at the end of Masechta Shabbos, we had the discussion regarding the using of the towel, where we said that if it's a group using it, they're going to remind each other not to squeeze it out. Similar discussion over here. So the Gemara says, that according to Rabbi Kiva, if I don't have either advantage, where either it's a be'er, where it's a continual source of water, or it's shel rabim, where the people are there to remind us, so if I'm missing either of those factors, or I should say better, if I'm missing both of those factors, so then you can't make usage of it. So, and you can't use a bracketed enclosure, then you must use a full enclosure. So the Gemara now thinks maybe our Mishnah doesn't hold like that. And our Mishnah says that you can only use the enclosures for a well, not for a pit. And the Mishnah, our Mishnah, seems to be making a very hard distinction between the two. Whereas according to Rabbi Kiva, no, if it's a pit, you could still use the brackets if it's owned by the public. Okay. So that's what the Gemara thinks, but the Gemara immediately says not necessarily. And the Gemara says, no, our Mishnah could be going like Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah chose the example of a well because by a well, it is unequivocal. You can always use the brackets for a well because a well is a constant flow of water. And so therefore, it doesn't matter if it's owned by a group or owned by an individual, you can always use it. Masha'in came when it comes to a bore, so it makes a difference whether it's owned by a group or owned by an individual. Our Mishnah just didn't want to get involved in that because lo psikale, because it's not a definitive halacha, it is a dependent halacha. Okay. Lema masisin loka Rav Yehuda ben Bava. One more time, the Gemara now wants to see if our Mishnah is holding like, maybe not holding like another Tana, specifically that of Rav Yehuda ben Bava. Now we learned in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda ben Bava, Omer ein osim pasin ela labir harabim bilvad. Shitas Rav Yehuda ben Bava is that the bracketed enclosure that we're describing right now can only be used, but only if I have two things working for me. One, it's a be'er. Two, it's owned by the public. Then and only then can I use the enclosure. And our Mishnah over here says be'er, seemingly not making a distinction whether it's owned by a group or an individual. And the Gemara says, Afilu tema Rav Yehuda ben Bava, my be'eros da'ama. Okay, and not necessarily, you don't have to say that. Our Mishnah could be going like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, and when our Mishnah says Be'eraos, it just simply means general Be'eraos. But in terms of the distinction, maybe it has to be owned by a group, not by an individual. My Diyumdin. Okay, so after having gone through possible tonight that don't agree with our Mishnah, each time the Gemara says it's not true, they all agree with our Mishnah. Now some definition. What is the word diyum demin? Amar Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar, dayo amudim. Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar says, it means dayo from the word duo, amudim, it's two beams, it's two brackets. Meaning even though it's one piece, but because it's going now as a bracket in a perpendicular, so it looks like two, and that's what the word, the etymology of the word diyum demin. Okay, now you look at the mnemonic over here coming up. The mnemonic is going to take us to the remainder of today's daf. And that is that we're going to be treated to Agarata. Agarata, some Hashkafa over the course of the remaining of today's daf and a good part of tomorrow's daf as well. And on top of that, memories that are said by Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar. We were just given the definition of the word Yumdim by Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar. So the Gemara now is going to do a collection of various statements that he made on many different topics and areas. And so that is going to segue us for the remainder of today's daf. First, we're going to spend a little bit of time with this word yumdin, just for a couple of lines based on the Mishnah in Demai. So, Tanan Hasam Rabbi Yehuda Amir, Kol Hashisim Peturim, Chutz Min HaDiyufra. So, when you're buying these figs, they are going to be exempt from the requirement of Demai. Demai, we just spoke about in yesterday's daf, as far as the dispensation that's given for the soldiers. They don't have to worry about Demai. So, but what the rest of us do have to worry about Demai. I mean, we who live outside of Eretz Yisrael, and nowadays without the full Kedushas Eretz Yisrael as well, even in Eretz Yisrael. So they are worried about Trumas Maisros, Hafresh Trumas Maisros. But I don't think they're worried about Demai. At least I don't think so. But anyway, the halacha of Demai is that when I purchase produce from our Ma'aretz, even though they took off Trumas and Maisos, most probably, we have to take it off again. However, certain allowances that are given for Demai, we already spoke about one yesterday. Here comes another one. And then and that is when I buy these Shisim, so they're going to be exempt from Demai. Why? So Rashi explains because they are of an inferior quality. And they're figs, but not that exciting. And so for the Amma Aritz, there is nothing really incentivizing him to hold back from Chumas and Maestros. And so therefore, it's more than just probably that he took off Chumas and Maestros. It's Karov Levadai. Definitely, or most definitely, he took off Chumas and Maestros, except for Diufra. Diufra is a special fig, and there the Amma Aritz seller is more incentivized to hold them to himself, keep them to himself, and he's not going to be separating Chumas and Maestros. Or at least he'll be more motivated not to separate Trumas and Maestros. And so these are the better quality. Diufra, so my Diufra. Amar Ula Ilan Osa Dio Peros Vishana. So it's a special tree, special fig tree. And there are how many harvests a year? Two harvests a year from the fig tree. So generally on a fruit tree, so it's giving fruit once a year. But here we have a special tree, which gives two times a year. Amar Yirmiyah ben Elazar. And here we begin. Here we begin with the Gemara's quoting now many different statements of Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar. Again, Agarata Hashkafa. We start off with our first. I counted it up. Over the course of this morning, so we should be hopefully be able to cover seven different statements. The first one's going to be a little bit longer. I'm Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Dayu Parts upon him, Hayat Lo La'adam Arisha. It is hard to visualize, and here the picture book is not going to give you a picture, but Adam Arisha, when constructed, so he was made with two sides. Shenema Acher Bekatan Sarasani, Pasuk in Tehillim, describing Adam Arishon is that there was a front and there was a back. And meaning to say that there were two faces to Adam Arishon. One was the male, the other one was the female. Ksiva Yivin Hashem Elokim Asat Sela. And now we're going to see whether or not this position of Yirmiyah ben Elazar, which admittedly is hard to visualize, so it might be even a little bit disturbing to visualize, but meanwhile, is it supportable? Can we defend it? And that's what the Gemara is going to try to do. So, the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Chava from the Tzela. Now, we know the word Tzela means the side. That part is clear, so says Rashi. But what exactly did HaKadosh Baruch Hu take from Adam HaRishon in order to create Chava? So, it's interesting because he asked the man on the street. So, they're going to tell you that he took a rib. I somewhat understand how that came about. That's not going to be one of the options of the Gemara. So Rav Shmuel Charamar Partsuf Charamar Zanav. So it's a machlok between Rav Shmuel. One says it's a Partsuf, and the other Partsuf means that Akash Baruch Hu took an entire side off of Adam Rishon. And the other says Zanav. And the other says, no, there was a tail to Adam, and Akash Baruch Hu removed the tail in order to create Chava. Now Bisham Lamanda Amar Partsuf Hainu Dixiv Achor Vekadim Sarasani. So good. So if Akash Baruch Hu took off the whole side, that is in perfect alignment with the Shita of Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar that we just started off with, meaning that Adam Arishon was really a composite of two, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is he separated the two into two distinct persons. But El Laman Da'amar Zanav Mai Achor V'Kadim Sarasani, but if all HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was just take off a tail, so how do you understand the Pasuk in Tehillim, which was a tremendous support to Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar? So Kidrav Ami Da'amar Rav Ami Achor L'Maisa Breishis V'Kadim L'Peranios. So the Gemara says, well, we can understand the Pasuk in V'derech HaDrush. And that is that Adam HaRishon was first and last. Last in terms of creation, first in terms of receiving punishment. Now, Bishlam Achor L'maitza Breishis Delo Ivrei Ad Ma'ale Shabbos. So now, being last in creation, so that's easy. Meaning, open up Breishis, read Ma'isa Breishis, you see that he was last in creation. That part's easy. Ela V'kanon L'Peranios Ma'hi. But the idea that he was first in Peranios, what is that in reference to? Ilei M'mishim Klalahu Ha'betchil Niskala Nachash L'Sof Niskala Chav L'Sof Niskala Adam. Now, as far as the punishments that were given out for the Eitz Adas, so Adam was not first. In fact, he was the last one in line. First the Nachash, then Chava, then Adam. So El Lamabel. So it must be in terms of the Mabel. Dichsi Vayimachis Kol Yikom Asher Apnei Adama Me Adam Ad Behima. So when mentioning that which got destroyed by the Mabel, so Adam is mentioned first, then Behima. So he was Kadam Leperanius. That's the way we can understand the Pasuk in Tehillim. Bishlam Laman Damar Pasuk Hainu Dichsiv Vayitzar Treyuden. This idea that Adam Arishon was really composite of two people, so that does very well in terms of the Pasuk and the word Vayitzar with two Yuds. Laman Damar Zanav Mai Vayitzar, but if it's just a tail, So how did you understand the Vayitzar with two yuds? Kid Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Dam Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Oili Miyitzri, Oili Miyotzri. The tension that exists between the Yetzer Hara and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yitzri, that's the Yetzer Hara. Yotzri, that's what created me, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on one hand, I want to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I want to do mitzvos and I don't want to do averos. My Yetzer Hara, on the other hand, is pushing me in the other direction, and that built-in tension. That's what you do with the double yud. Bishlam alaman damer prasav hainu dichsiv zachar nekeva baram. Now the idea of Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, so it's very good. Meaning the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them zachar nekeva, and that's by Maisa Bracious of Adam Rishon. Alaman damer zan of my zachar nekeva baram. So on the other hand, if, however, all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took off of Adam was just a zanav, it was just some sort of appendage at the end, something that looked like a tail, so what do you do with a pasuk of Zachar Nekeva Baram? So Lichid Rabbi Abau, the Rabbi Abau, Rami Ksiv, the pasuk says, Zachar Nekeva Baram Uksiv, B'tzel Melokim Bara Oso, B'tchila Asa B'machshav Labar Shnayim, Ula V'sof Labar Nolnivra Ela Echad. So the Gemara says, in terms of explaining it, there really is a discrepancy in the pasukim. One pasuk says Zachar Nekeva Baram. Another pasuk says Bara Oso. So really, the Psukim give somewhat of a discrepancy in terms of the nature of how Adam Harishon was created. And in terms of resolving the discrepancy, the difference is what was Allah b'machshavo, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally thought to do, and then what he ultimately did. And that really reflects the discrepancy between the two Psukim. His original was intent was to make two, but then when he actually made it, he did one. Allah b'machshavo to do one way, and then when actually doing it another way. We learned already that when coming to how the world should operate, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Allah b'machshava, the way he thought the world should operate, it was din, was justice. And then, the Gemara elsewhere, forgive me, I forgot exactly where. And then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so he did it with rachamim. So you see that there was an Allah b'machshava, there was an original plan, and for reasons that obviously are going to be way above our pay grade in terms of understanding, so when HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually does it, so it comes out to be a little bit different. Another example, or I should say another proof. Bishlama, we're at the fifth line from the bottom of the Amud. Bishlama laman damar parts of Hainu Dichsiv, Vayizgor Basar Tachtena. Now, if it's Parsuf, we're talking about major surgery over here. We're talking about the division of two people who were basically looking something like Siamese twins. Again, hard to visualize. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu split them, and then Vayizgor Basar Tachtena. So now you understand the amount of cleanup work that was needed by the ultimate surgeon. But Elaman Damar Zanav. But if it's Zanav, if all this is just an appendage and just the removal of an appendage, my Vayizgor. So over here, my Vayizgor Basar Tachtena. So we're talking about now what? It's not major surgery. So Amar Ziv, Vitimer of Yirmi, Vitimer of Nach, Maitzak, Lonitzrucha, Elamakum Chatach. So the Gemara says, fine, you're not major surgery. But still, there was some excision, and you needed a little bit of suturing. Okay. So, Bishlama, Lamanda, Amar, Zanam, Hainu, Dichseva, Yven. Now, if you say that it is a tail, so then, or some sort of appendage, so that's very good. Because Vayiven, because now you understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to create a binyan. He had to build Chava out of the raw material. But Elaman Damar parts of my Vayiven. But if we're talking about parts of him, where basically Adam and Chava were both there in some sort of fused version, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu split them, but you don't need binyan. So the Gemara says, "Lechad Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, the Derush Shimon ben Menasya, v'yiben Hashem lokim es atzelam alamet shekila HaKadosh Baruch Hu lechava ve'evila Adam Arishon shekem b'kar chayam karen lekliyasa biniyasa." By the way, many of these Gemaras should sound familiar. We did all these Gemaras at the end of Masechta Brachos. So anyway, so what it means to say is that binyan over here means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was basically a beautician, and he took Chava and he braided her hair, and he made her beautiful for the chasna, and the word binyan. So if you go out to certain locations, you're going to hear that the word binyan actually refers to braiding, and so HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically dressed up Chava. Davar Acher, Vayivan Hashem Lakim, Amrav Chisav Amila Bemasisa Tanam Lamish Shabana HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lechava Kebinyan. Or maybe the word binyan over here just talks about the way the chava was constructed, which anatomically a little bit different than Adam Rishon. So he built her like a binyan otzer, basically like a storage house. So as we now turn to the Amud Beis, ma otzer zerachav milamata v'katzer milamala kedilakabel saperus af isha rachav milamata v'katzer milamala kedilakabel savlan. So we know that women, of course, are going to be the ones who are going to be carrying babies, delivering babies. So therefore, the construction anatomically has to look different than men. They have to be wider on the bottom and more narrow on the top in order for them to be able to hold the baby. So that could be the usage of the word binyan. So Akash Baruch Hu brought Chava to Adam. So that means to say that Akash Baruch Hu was Shoshbinus. He was like the best man at the Chasna. Mikan Legad. Now when I say best man, I mean that in terms of basically like a gabai, like in other words, someone who's attending to the Chasna. So Mikan Legad Shiyaseh Shoshbinus Lekatan Val Yirelo. And that means to say that if you have an opportunity to make a Chasna for somebody, and it's somebody who's not on your level, somebody who quote unquote is beneath you. So we should learn from Akash Baruch Hu. Akash Baruch Hu is the one who's being the Shoshban. He's the one that's basically arranging the wedding, putting the Chasna together. So don't think to yourself, like, I'm not taking care of any of the details of the Chasna. Let somebody else do it. Right? It's beneath me to do so. So the Gemara says, no. We should take a lesson from Akash Baruch Hu. If Akash Baruch Hu is taking the time to do so, obviously this is a worthwhile venture, to say the least. Continuing, Laman Damar Partsuf Haiminau Sage Bereshia. So, in this idea that Adam and Chava were created together in some sort of few state, and there was a front and there was a back, so who was in the front and who was in the back? So the Gemara says, Amar of Nachma Yitzchak Mestaba de Zachar Sagi Bereisha. So it makes more sense that Adam was in the front, walking in the front, and Chava was in the back, to Tanya, based on the halacha. And the halacha is, Loi halach Adam achari isha b'derech. A man should not be walking behind a woman while they are traveling. V'afili ishto, and even if it's his own wife, Nizdam lo al gesher, Yisakhen let's start them. And if you happen to find each other on the bridge, so you should move to the side. Now, if you're walking behind a woman, specifically by Nahar, so such an individual does not have a chelik in Olam Haba. And Nahar is where the woman is going to be putting herself in immodest situations. She's going to be either doing the laundry, rolling up her sleeves, or whatever, showing other parts of her body which men should not be looking at. And so, therefore, it's going to be a breach of tznius. It's also going to be a lack of shmir seinayim. And so the Gemara speaks over here in very strong terms about making sure that you should be protecting that which you see and not looking at women, benahar, and in general, not even walking behind women as well. Tanu Rabbanan, Hamaratza Maos, Leisha, Miyado, Liyada, Oh, Miyada, Liyado, Bishoshi, Sakoba, Afilo, Doma, Lamosha, Rabbin, Shekibel, Torme, Harsinai, Loina, Kemidina, Shukahanam, Valavakas of Omer, Yadli, Yad, Loinake, Ra, Loina, Kemidina, Shukahanam. And the Gemara says, that if you're doing business transaction with a woman, but you're doing so just for one express purpose of being able to wash her as she's counting out the money, handing it to you from your hand, so that's no good. Not only no good, lo yinak b'din shel gehenim. So the Gemara says is that you're going to have to suffer parts of gehenim as a result of the fact that you looked at women in this manner. Meaning doing business with women, that in of itself is perfectly fine, but doing so for the express purpose of looking at them. So and that is out of the question, no good. The Pasuk in Mishlei, which the Gemara just quoted, Yad Li Yad Lo Yinakeh, so now the Gemara is understanding in the context of how we just learned it, meaning that when you are handing things to her or having things handed from her to you, but only for the purpose of looking at her, so that is inexcusable. Amar Rav Nachman Manoach Ama Artaya. So Manoach, the father of Shimshon, so the Gemara describes him as an Ama Artz. How do I know that? Shenem Rav Yikam Yilech Manoach Achare Ishto. So he followed his wife, and that means to say the Gemara is assuming right now is that he walked behind his wife, which we just spoke about in very strong terms that one should not. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'll give you examples of other personalities throughout Tanakh where the pasuk says that they walked after their wives, and we know what it means. They didn't physically walk after their wives. So first Elkanah, I'll give you as one example. So Hachinami v'gabe Elisha dechsi v'yikam yilech achareha. And the Navi Elisha, where it says that he followed the woman. So Hachinami ala achare devareha v'atasa. So we know what the pshat is over there. It means that he didn't follow her literally. It means that they gave her an eitzah and they followed the eitzah. So Hachinami achare devareha v'atasa. So also we could say the same thing by Manoach. Manoach was following the eitzah of his wife, but he wasn't physically following her. So Amar Rav Ashi l'mayda Amar Rav Nachman Manoach Amar Tzaya. So Rav Ashi says, fine. Okay, maybe that's right. But let's go back to our Havamina. In our suggestion that Manoach was following his wife, so he's such an Amaritz, he doesn't even know Chumash. Afilu Bei Rav Nami Lokara. So in other words, the kids in the yeshiva, the first thing they're learning is chumash, and if we go back to what we suggested originally, Manoch didn't even know chumash. Tichsiv, the pasuk says, v'atakam rivka v'narasah, v'tirkavna al ha-gemalim, v'tilachna acharei ha-ish. So as far as Rivka, when she was taken by Eliezer, invited to go marry Yitzchak, so they went back, and Eliezer was in the front, and Rivka was in the back. V'lo lifnei ha-ish. So you see, just simple psukim in the chumash that tell us that the procession should be the man in the front and the woman in the back. So over here as well. So he didn't even know chumash, says Rav Ashi, if we were right in our first suggestion that he physically was walking behind his wife. Am Rav Yochanan achare ariv lo achare isha. Again, the Gemara over here speaks in very strong terms in terms of a man being in a position where he does not put himself in a way in which he's going to be seeing women and he's going to be looking and gazing at women. So better to follow a lion than that of a woman. So achare isha v'lo achare avodas kochavim. Now, a person should put himself rather behind a woman than behind avodas kochavim. A person should not attach himself in any way to avodas zara, avodas kochavim. So it's an interesting decision that needs to be made. It's kind of hard to imagine what would be the circumstance in which you had to decide between following avodas zara over that of a woman. But avodas zara is, so to say, worse than a woman. Achare avodas kochavim v'lo achare beis hakneses b'shar shemispalim. And the Gemara says, and even more of an affront would be walking behind a shul during the time of davening. That means to say that the people are davening, and you are now putting yourself in a position where you are clearly ignoring the minyan that's occurring. And there's no other shul in town, and it clearly is a negation of avodas Hashem. Rashi over here describes it, that you're being a kofir, right? Rashi says, nirik a kofir. They're davening. You're right there. You're not walking in. So that's kfira, and that's worse than avodah zara, which is worse than walking behind a woman. Okay, Adkan. That was a long one. Meaning, as I mentioned, we're going to go through seven different members. Seven today, I should say. Seven different members of Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar, and the first one had to do with the word duo. Right, the idea that Adam and Chava were created as one entity to begin with, fused together, and the Gemara spent a lot of time with this position of Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar. And again, what's its connection to our discussion? Because we talked about the Diyumdin that was used for the Pasei Beiros. We're up to number two. I'm Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar. We're on Yud Ches Amud Beis. We're more than halfway down on the Amud. It's the beginning of the line. I'm Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar called Osan Hashanim Shaya Adam Arishan Benidui, Holid Ruchin Vishaydin Belilin. So Adam Arishan was excommunicated after the Chait Harishan of eating from the Eitz Hadas. So Adam was put in an excommunication for 130 years. And for those first 130 years, so what was he producing at that point in time? So some forms of spiritual entities. Ruchin, Shaydin, Lilin, these are all different types of spiritual entities. And so Shenemar, the pasuk says, Vayichi, sorry, I'm back. Vayichi Adam Shoshim Mameya Shana, Vayolid Bid Mosoket Samom. So it says in the pasuk that Adam was 130 years old when he first gave birth, which means that what was happening for those first 130 years? Mechlav Da'ani Ina Lavket Samo Olid. So he was producing, but it wasn't Kitsalmo, meaning that at 130, he was producing something that looked like him. So prior to that, he was producing these kinds of spiritual entities. So we know that that he was penalized, and he know that Misa came into the world as a result of his chait. So therefore, he sat and fasted. Mea ushloshim shana. For those 130 years, he fasted. Okay, that is a lot of fasting. Impossible for us to do. Impossible for us to live 130 years. But okay, Adam Arishon is operating with different rules as it related to nature. Upirish Manisha may have a shoshim shana, and he abstained from his wife for those 130 years. Va'ala zarzei te'enim abasara may have a shoshim shana, and he wrapped himself up in branches of te'enim, basically making himself uncomfortable for those 130 years, and basically he was begging for forgiveness for those 130 years after the chait of the Eitz Hadas. Ki kamrinan. Now the Gemara says over here, Ahu b'shichva zera, the chazal unsei. In terms of now the production of the spiritual entities for those 130 years, because the Gemara assumes over here that Adam Rishon was basically a man of slicha u'mechila, and he was not involved in any kind of production. So the Gemara says that's true, but not intentionally. The Gemara describes over here that somehow there was some zera that came out of him, ba'ones, and it was beyond his control, and that's what created these spiritual entities. I'm Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar. We're up to number 3. So when speaking about the praise, so when you're in front of that person, don't say a lot, say a little bit. And when behind the person's back, so you should, then you could say all the person's praise. Why can't you say all of it in front of him? So Rashi over here says it's a function of chanifa, flattery. You're not allowed to flatter somebody. Flattering somebody is a violation of chakras. It's lying. So when you flatter somebody, so you are lying, and that's obviously prohibited. So over here, if you start praising a person, and let's say you're not flattering the person, but you're giving all the praises. So what could end up happening is that you can end up exaggerating, and you can end up doing chanifa. Okay, so keep your compliments in front of the person, keep them limited, and then when speaking with others, so then you can go ahead. How do I know that? How do we know this? So we all know the Gemara's example that it's about to give. So mixa shivcha befanav dechsev ki oscha reisi tzadik lefanai bedor hazeh. Kulo shlo befanav dechsev Noach ish tzadik v'tamim haya bedor hasav. So when Noach was described by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking directly to Noach, so he says, yeah, in this generation, you're okay. But then meanwhile, right, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking about Noach, right, in the beginning of the parasha, so he was ish tzadik tamim haya bedor hasav. He was perfect. Okay, I'm Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar. This is number 4. So when the Yonah comes back to the Teva and he has Ale Zayas, he's got the branch of an olive tree. So Amar Yonah Lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Rosh Olam Yumi Zon Asayim Merurin Kezayas Umesurim Yadecha Va'al Yumesukin Kedvash V'Tulim Yad Bas V'Dam. So the Yonah is saying the following to Hakadosh Baruch Hu: I'd rather be fed directly from you rather than having to be fed by basar v'dam. And even if that which I receive from you is bitter, right, the olive branch is bitter, I'd rather be fed directly from you than having to be fed by basar v'dam, Noach. Ksiv hacha, taraf, ksiv hasam, hachufenu lechem chuki. And the idea of taraf is connected to the idea that we're getting daily rations, daily portions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And better that we get fed directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu rather than some sort of intermediary. I'm Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar, called Baish and Ishmaim Bo Devei Torah. This is now number 5. Any house in which Torah is balayla, they're learning Torah at night, shuv eino nechrav, that house will not be destroyed. Shenemer v'lo amari, elokal seno sein zmiros balayla. Okay, so the zmiros over here, the song, the singing at night, is a reference to Torah that's being learned at night. Number 6. I'm Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar, miyom shechar beis hamikdash dayu l'olam, shishtamish b'shtei osios. After churban beis hamikdash, so now how many letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is going to be used? Only 2. Shenemer kol neshama tahalal ka, halalu ka. So only using the letters yud and he, and not using the full 4 letters of the 4-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi over here connects us to the idea that when there was a Beis HaMikdash, so there was duchening in the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis, and in the duchening, so they would say Shem HaShem, and they would say Shem HaMafarash. And so they would use the 4-letter name, but now, after Churban Beis HaMikdash, so that now 4 is being reduced to 2. That was number 6. Number 7, so yeah, let's say it over quickly. I'm Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar. Niskala b'chol niskalu shchenaha, niskalu shomron, nisbarchu shchenaha, niskalu bavel. I'll tell you what, let's leave 7 off for tomorrow. Okay, it goes on a little bit into tomorrow's. Okay, let's stop at 6 for today, and shomron and bavel we'll do for tomorrow. And we'll start with tomorrow. Okay, and let's use this opportunity now to recap our daf today. We spoke about, we opened up the second parak of Masechta Erev, and we talked about the Mishnah regarding the enclosure that's created through Bas Pasi Beiran by putting the 4 brackets in the 4 corners. And now having a Rishus HaYachid and allowing to be able to carry within those enclosures a special dispensation that's given for the Ole Regalim, so that as they are stopping on their way up to Yerushalayim for Shabbos, so they can create a Rishus HaYachid for themselves and draw water from the well. A lot of details that go into this halacha, notably the space and gaps. First of all, the dimensions of the brackets themselves, the space and gaps that exist between one bracket and the next bracket, the kind of water source that is being used in the center. So many of those details that we covered today, more of them coming up later in the perek. This dispensation, the number of basic rules that it seems to violate, the idea that you have more paris than omed, so that was the first tosos in the Masechta. Even when I put in the center walls, which are sometimes necessary, I have avir mehagisa, ve'avir mehagisa, and yet that center wall is not negated. That also was brought up by the second tosos in the perek. Okay, so this is the idea of the pasei beros that we were introduced to. Our Gemara starts off on Yechez Haman Aleph with a discussion of there seems to be a group of Tanaim who don't agree with the Mishnah, and the Gemara says in all of those cases, not necessarily. All those Tanaim can be in agreement with our Mishnah, and the inferences that are made through the various brisos are not necessarily good inferences. We gave the working definition of the word diyumdin. So Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar says that the word diyumdin is a contraction of duo amudin, the dual wall, meaning that each of the brackets, being that it is operating at a 90-degree angle, looking like two walls, that's why it's called diyumdin. And then, from there going forward, first of all, we saw another example of the word diyumad or diyufra used in the context of the Mishnayos, the first Mishnah in Demai, about the figs. Most of them are inferior in nature, and we don't have to worry about Demai. But for the diyufra, the tree that produces two yields a year, so that's why it's called the diyufra, which happens to be of a better quality. From that point going forward, Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar, so we went through six statements that he made this morning in terms of both Agadata and Hashkafa. The first one, the construction of Adam and Chava, and how did it look at first? And his position was very clear, that it was two people fused together. And the various psukim that seemed to support that idea, that seemed to go against that idea, and the Gemara spent a good amount of time, nearly in full Amud, discussing that position. Yeah, full Amud. Starts on the middle of the Amud Aleph and goes to the middle of the Amud Beis. Second topic is the 130 years of excommunication that Adam HaRishon finds himself in after the Chet HaRishon, of eating from the Eitz HaDas. Number three, the idea that when you're praising somebody in front of him, Miksa Shvacha. When you're praising him not in front of him, so then Kulo Shvacha, we saw that by Noah. Number four, we would rather be fed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly rather than by Basar V'dam. Number five, Talmud Torah at night. A house that has Talmud Torah at night is not going to be destroyed. And number six, and this is where we finish off with today after Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So we used Shem Hashem, but only two letters of Shem Hashem, not the full Shem Hashem. And parenthetically, by the way, obviously, even when we're reading the Torah nowadays, and we see the Shem Hashem in its four letters, we don't even pronounce it in the Shema Mefarish. That's no longer done after Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we'll stop over here.